Okay, so this morning we're not going to deal with a personal Shiloh. We're going to deal with more of a general question that affects contemporary society, and that is the issue of drafting yeshiva students into the army. So first we're going to have a little modern Jewish history lesson for all those who missed Jewish history class. In 1948, as the State of Israel was being formed, or already after the State of Israel was formed, Ben-Gurion, the first Prime Minister of Israel, was forming the first Knesset of Israel, which is always a very entertaining thing in the Israel world. And he obviously needed, as is still today, he needed the religious party to jump on board in order to form a good political party that would be able to run the Knesset. So they said, okay, we'll join with you if you make a deal with us that you won't, this mandatory draft that you're implementing in Israel, that you won't draft yeshiva students. So what happened? Ben-Gurion agreed to it. Ben-Gurion agreed to their conditions. And that's how the yeshiva student draft exemption came to being. Now, why did Ben-Gurion agree to it? Ben-Gurion is a secular person. Why did he suddenly agree to allow yeshiva students not to join the army? So it's actually fascinating that at that time in Israel, there weren't so many yeshiva students. There were only 350. So Ben-Gurion thought, okay, I'll let these 350 guys, they don't have to come to the army. 10 years from now, once we have a State of Israel and these yeshiva guys see the beautiful modern ways of secular Israeli society, so they'll drop the whole yeshiva thing, and we won't have to worry about this anymore. So little did he know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans. And as we know, you have 350 students, on every block in Israel. Right? We have tens of thousands of yeshiva students who are able to do not have to go to the army due to this exemption that Ben-Gurion gave them over 50 years ago. So we're not going to focus on the political issues here. We're going to focus on some of the halachic issues, really mainly the issue of oseg b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. What does the halacha say about a guy who's in yeshiva not joining the army? Can he exempt himself through saying, oseg b'mitzvah, because I'm learning Torah? I'm patur min ha-mitzvah, I don't have to go join the army and join the IDF. So before we do that, we have to see, in general, what are the types of milchamos, what are the types of battles that halacha allows a person to engage in? So in Torah, in halacha, there are two types of milcham. At the end of Parsha Shoftim, the Torah enumerates specific people, really four categories of people, who do not have to go into battle. Who are they? The first category is Eris Isha V'lo Lacha, a person who had Erisin with a woman. They did Kiddushin. He gave her a ring and said, Arei Anu Kudeshesli, but she's still living in her father's home. They have not yet done Nisuin. And in those times, Erisin and Nisuin, there was a 12-month break between them. So a person like that, he does not go into battle. The second person is someone who, a Sherbona Bai, someone who just built a house and did not yet move in. The third person is someone who planted a kerem and did not yet redeem his fruits, because as the first, we know that halacha is that in a field, the first 3 years that the fruits grow, they are orla, you're not allowed to eat them. But then the fourth year, you're allowed to eat those fruits in Yerushalayim or redeem them onto coins to bring them up to Yerushalayim to buy other fruits. So a person who planted a vineyard and did not yet redeem his field, he also is exempt from going into battle. And the fourth person is what? A rach v'yar levav, a person who's scared, and the pasuk says, a person who's scared, and he's going to cause the soldiers around him also to be frightened. He also does not go into battle. One opinion in the Mishnah in Sota is that what is he afraid of? He's afraid of averus shebiyado. He's afraid of the averus that he's done, that he won't merit special siyata d'shmaya that would protect him in battle. So we have these four types of people who are exempt from going into battle. So the question is, are they always potter? Is there ever a time when they would have to go into fight? So comes the Mishnah in Sota on Das Mem Dal and Amun Alef and tells us, when do these exemptions apply? Says the Mishnah in Sota, Bamed Dvar Mamurim Bil Mechamos Harashus Of a Mechamos Mitzvah HaKol Yotzin Afilu Chasam Mechedra V'Kal Mechupasa. When do we say they don't have to go to fight? That's by a milchemes rishus. But by a milchemes mitzvah, everybody leaves, even the newlyweds, even the chasen and the kala, from their chuppah. Now, what's a milchames mitzvah and what's a milchames rishus, what's a milchames mitzvah that everybody has to go into fight, even newlyweds. So take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Says the Rambam, the Ezihi milchames mitzvah, what's the definition of a milchames mitzvah? So the Rambam says it's three possibilities. Number one, do milchames shivas amim, the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael from the seven nations like Yoshua engaged in. That's a milchames mitzvah. The second example is milchames amalek, the fight against Amalek. And number three, and this is relevant for our discussion, Ezras Yisrael miyad tzar shabalayim, saving the Jewish people from an enemy that's coming to harm them. And that type of battle is not limited to Eretz Yisrael, or specifically when we have the Beis HaMikdash standing. It's anywhere, anywhere in the world where someone comes and tries to harm the Jewish people. We have a milchames mitzvah, a mitzvah to go ahead and fight that enemy and protect the Jewish people. So it seems clear from the Rambam that the wars that the current modern state of Israel is engaged in are clearly defined as milchames mitzvah. The soldiers are doing a tremendous mitzvah protecting Eretz Yisrael, protecting the Jewish people. And seemingly, it's something that everybody would be obligated to fight in, as everyone has to go fight in a milchames mitzvah. So that leads us to get into our issue. What about osik v'mitzvah pacham in a mitzvah? Can a guy who's learning say, well, okay, shkoyach, it's a mitzvah to go ahead and fight for Eretz Yisrael, fight for the Jewish people, but I'm engaged in a mitzvah right now of learning Torah. Can that exempt it? So let's analyze osik v'mitzvah pacham in a mitzvah. So comes the Mishnah in Sukkah, and that's chaf hei menalos, and tells us this idea of osik v'mitzvah pacham in a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, shluchei mitzvah, keturim in a sukkah. Those who are messengers to go ahead and do a mitzvah are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. What are shluchei mitzvah? Rashi says there, hochei bederech mitzvah, kigon lilmol Torah, they're going traveling to learn Torah, ulahakol pnei rabo, or to greet their rebbe on yontif, ulifto shvuim, or to redeem someone who is captured. So these people, since they're involved in a mitzvah, they are pater from doing another mitzvah, from the mitzvah of sukkah. What's the source of this? So says the Gemara, minani mili, how do you know that osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah? The Tanur Rabbanon, v'shiftecha b'veisecha, prad lo osik v'mitzvah. When are you obligated to say Kriya Shema? When you're sitting at home. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah, then you don't have to say Kriya Shema. So too, if I'm involved with Pidyon Shvuim, or going to my Rebbe, I'm patur from the mitzvah of sukkah because I'm osik v'mitzvah. Now, comes the Ritva, and asks a very simple question. We'll say the question outside, we'll read the answer inside. The Ritva asks, I don't get it. He says, it's obvious that we only apply osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah when I am involved in mitzvah. But let's say I'm doing a mitzvah, but I'm being very passive about it, right? Like right now, we're all wearing tzitzis, right? So can I say, oh, because I'm wearing tzitzis right now, I don't have to do chesed, I don't have to put on tefillin, I don't have to daven, I don't have to learn? No, says the Ritva, of course not. Osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah means that when I'm busy with the mitzvah, with mitzvah A, I'm involved with it, then I'm exempt from another mitzvah, mitzvah B. So for example, the Gemara says, I find my friend's donkey that's lost on the streets, and I take it in to perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara says, while you're feeding the donkey, let's say, and you're busy taking care of it, if a poor person would come and ask for tzedakah, you don't have to give him tzedakah because you're currently involved in another mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda of taking care of your friend's lost donkey. So says the Ritva, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that when I'm involved with mitzvah A and I'm doing something, I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't have to do mitzvah B? Obviously I don't have to do mitzvah B. I'm doing mitzvah A right now. Why would Hashem expect me to drop mitzvah A and do mitzvah B? So the Ritva answers, and it's starting from the Vayesh Lomer, I have it on, in mind it's towards the third to last line. Says the Ritva, Vayesh Lomer, what's the chiddush of osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah? Vayesh Lomer, da kemash malon, da filu boi laniach mitzvah zu, lasos mitzvah acheres, gedolo heimena, ein ha-reshus b'yado. Says the Ritva, the chiddush of osik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah is that you might think that, okay, I'm doing mitzvah A, I'm taking care of my neighbor's lost donkey, right? I'm doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so I don't have to give the poor man tzedakah. But could I? Could I voluntarily decide just to give him the tzedakah while I'm doing, while and stop what I'm doing taking care of the donkey? Yeah, why not? Says the Ritva, no. the whole chiddush of osiv and mitzvah, patur and mitzvah being learned out from a pasuk is to tell you, it's usher. You're not allowed to stop what you're doing. Once you're involved in one mitzvah, you're not allowed to go ahead and do the other mitzvah. You have to focus on the mitzvah that's in front of you that you're currently being osik in. So if that's the case, one could argue that since yeshiva students are engaged learning Torah, they're not supposed to. It would be usher for them to go ahead and join the army. They're doing a mitzvah right now. It would take them away from the mitzvah that's in front of them of learning Torah. So let's see. We have to examine this assumption that the regular rules of osik and mitzvah, patur and mitzvah applies to someone learning Torah. So let's see. How does the mitzvah of Talmud Torah fit with this concept of osik and mitzvah, patur and mitzvah? So comes the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halachos Gimel and Dal, based on the Gemara and Ma'ikat on Adat test, and he tells us what exactly are the guidelines for when a person who's learning Torah and another mitzvah comes his way. Says the Rambam, Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol mitzvahs kulan shishkula keneged Talmud Torah, el Talmud Torah keneged kol mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah that's equal to Talmud Torah. Rather, Talmud Torah is equal to all mitzvahs. Shat Talmud maybe l'day maisa, because learning Torah is so important, because learning Torah now brings you to be able to do the mitzvahs. Lefika cha Talmud kodem l'maisa b'chol makom. Therefore, learning Torah always takes precedence over doing a mitzvah. What does that mean? Says the Rambam in the next halacha. Hayo lefanam asiyas mitzvah the Talmud Torah. So let's say you have it in front of you. You have a chance to sit down and learn. Or you have a mitzvah in front of you, such as putting on tefillin, right? Or helping an old lady cross the street. So how do you decide what you do? Says the Rambam. Im efshar lemitzvah liyasos aidei acherim lo yaftik talmuda. If it's possible for someone else to do the mitzvah, you shouldn't stop learning. So if I'm sitting and learning outside, right, it's Corona, and you're not allowed to be inside the base members, and you are, welcome Davi, and you see a old lady who needs help crossing the street. So should you get up, close your gemara, and help her? So says Rambam, it depends. If someone else is doing it, continue learning. If no one else is, and you're the only person that can do it, get up and do it. Says Rambam, vim lav, yasa mitzvah, yaksa talmudo. If there's no one else who could do the mitzvah, you go ahead and learn. So now, if I'm learning, right, I start learning at 6 o'clock in the morning, comes time to put on tefillin. Should I put on tefillin? Of course, because there's no one else who could put on tefillin for me besides me, right? I can't just sit on my couch all day with my legs up and tell my friend, I'm pointing you as a shliach to put tefillin on for me, right? We might wish we could do that, but we can't do that. Only I can fulfill the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. So what about serving in the army? What can we say that I don't have to go to the army, someone else could do it? So that's what some argue. Many rabbanim, many people will argue that there's enough Israelis who aren't yeshiva students who are in the army. So you don't need to pick the yeshiva guys. They're learning, right? It's a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos yedei acherim. Someone else could go ahead and do the mitzvah of defending Eretz Yisrael and protecting Klal Yisrael. But the yeshiva guys, the army doesn't need them. Others argue that no, it is a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos yedei acherim. The role of a ben Torah, of someone who's a yeshiva guy in the army, cannot be replaced by anyone else. Why? Because as we saw in the Mishnah in Sota, what's one of the examples of someone who goes home, who's exempt from serving in the army? Arach v'yari leva, someone who's scared. Why is he scared? According to one opinion in the Mishnah, it's because he has aver shebiyado. He's done averos. So what do we see? We want the best people. We want the biggest tzaddikim, the biggest b'nei Torah in the army. We want the most siyata d'shmaya. So the fact that you'll have other Israelis who may not be B'nai Torah in the army, that's not an excuse for the yeshiva guys not to go in the army. We want the B'nai Torah in the army. But it's not so clear. There are some who argue that even if you would say that serving in the army is a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos yedei acherim, it's something no one else can do, they still argue that B'nai Torah, people who are learning yeshiva, should not have to go into the army. What's that based on? Where does that come from? So let's see. We saw before that the Rambam had said that a mitzvah that if I'm learning and a mitzvah comes before me that no one else can do, I have to stop my learning to go do the mitzvah. So is that really true? Let me show you a Gemara in Sukkah, and based on that Gemara in Sukkah, we'll ask a Bam Kasha on the Rambam. Says the Gemara in Sukkah, on Daf Chav Av Mnalef, Hochin Lidvar Mitzvah, Peturin Bein Mayom Bein Malayla. people who are going to do a mitzvah are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, whether it's during the day, whether it's at night. What's an example of that? Kihad Rav Chista v'Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, like Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, kihavu aili b'shavta d'ragu l'bei Reish Galusa, when they were going to their Rebbe, to the Reish Galusa, on Yontif of Sukkot that fell out on Shabbos, havu gana arkisa, they would sleep on the river banks of Sur, and not in the sukkah. Why would they not sleep in the sukkah? Says the Gemara, amri anon shluchei mitzvah anon upturin. We're on a mitzvah mission, so we're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So what question can we ask on this Gemara? Says the Or Sameach, I don't get it. The Rambam paskin that a person who's engaged in Talmud Torah is only exempt from another mitzvah if someone else could do the mitzvah. But a mitzvah that no one else could do, you're not exempt. So let's think for a second. Who is the only person that can fulfill the mitzvah of living in a sukkah on Sukkot? Me, right? So shkoyach, I'm going to greet my Rebbe. But a mitzvah of sukkah comes my way, of sleeping in the sukkah. Who's the only person that can do that? Me. So why should I be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah because I'm going to learn Torah with my Rebbe? It's a mitzvah she has her last to say, Aideh Echerim. The only person who can fulfill that mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah for myself is myself. So why were they potter? So the Or Sameach answers this question based on a yesod formulated by Tosos and Ksuvos. There's a number of steps in this Tosos, but we'll take it slow. Take a look at Tosos and Ksuvos and Yudzai and Meral. So first, some background. The Gemara and Ksuvos says that Mevatlin Talmud Torah La'atzas Ames, that if we're all sitting and learning Torah, if right now a body was being buried, we would all stop our learning to go ahead and take care of burying the body. Mevatlin Talmud Torah La'atzas Ames, we stop our learning to bury a mace. Ask Tosos, really? What about a braisa on Hilchos Derech Eretz where you have the following story? Look at Tosfos, the Kosha. The Behilchos Derech Eretz, Amar Rebbe Akiva, Tchilas Tashmishe Lefnei Chachamim. Rebbe Akiva says, we know Rebbe Akiva started to learn Torah when he was 40. Rebbe Akiva says, when he first started learning Torah, when he first started being around Rebbeim who would teach him Torah, Pamachas Hayisim Mahalik Vaderech. I was traveling on the road. Umatzati meis mitzvah. I found a dead body that nobody was taking care of, and it's a tremendous mitzvah to take care of such a body. V'nitzvalti bo dal aminin, and I dealt with this body. Adshe yivesu lebeis hakfaros, I took it 4 milin until I brought it to a cemetery, the kavartiv, and I buried the body. And says Rabbi Akiva, what happened? Ukshibasi v'rtzeisi divrei lefnei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Akiva says, when I told my Rebbeim, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua, what I did, that I didn't come to learn with them right away, but rather I stopped to take care of a dead body. What happened? They got really upset at me. They said a crazy thing. They said, Rabbi Akiva, for every step that you took to go take care of this dead body instead of coming straight to learn with us, it's as if you spilled clean dam. So that's a very harsh statement coming from them. But it says, Tosos, I don't get it. The Gemara in Ksuvos says that we stopped learning Torah to take care of a dead body. And now Rabbi Akiva is saying, my Rebbeim got mad at me because I took care of a dead body instead of coming to learn with them. What's the shot? So it says Tosos an amazing answer. It says Tosos, the Rimi Karvil, T-Rates, Dehasa Mishim Debitel Asma Mishimish Talmidei Chachamim Ka'amar Degadol Shimusha Yosem Limuda. Says Tosos, no. There's learning Torah, and there's Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. What's Shimush Talmidei Chachamim? So we'll say it outside, but it's based on the Makoros that are coming up, the Rashi and Brachos, the Gemara and Brachos. But basically, Rashi and Brachos says is that Shimush Talmidei Chachamim mean a person who's just beginning his formative years of learning, right? He's not yet a seasoned learner. He's not yet an accomplished Talmid Chacham. He's a yeshiva guy. He's someone who just started learning Torah. He should not stop to do anything other than learned by his Rebbeim. Someone who's just developing the skills and a foundation for learning Torah, he's not someone who should stop doing that in order to go do another mitzvah, to go bury a dead body. That's why Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim got upset at him, because Rabbi Akiva was just starting to learn Torah. So you don't stop when you're just starting to learn Torah and you're developing a foundation in learning, you don't stop for anything. Based on that, says Or Sameach, that explains the Gemara in Sukkah. The reason why Rabbi Bar Huna and the other Amora were potter from the mitzvah of Sukkah because they were going to what? Learn from their Rebbe. So someone who's going to learn from his Rebbe how to learn, the skills of learning, he's exempt from any mitzvah. So based on that line of reasoning, based on the fact that there's a concept called Shimusha Yoser, Gadol Shimusha Yoser Mimuda, that besides Talmud Torah, there's something called Shimush Talmid Chachamim, someone who's learning the skills from his Rebbe and how to learn. Many Rabbanim argued in Eretz Yisrael that you shouldn't draft yeshiva students in the army because these guys, they're age 18 to 23, let's say. That's the formative years of your learning. That's when your brain is primed to pick up skills in learning. So they argued based on this idea, this concept from the Oros HaMeach, that you shouldn't draft the yeshiva students to learn. They're too young. This is their formative years in learning. They're potter from the army. So this really was a debate that continues still today. And besides the halacha issues that we discussed, there's also the hashkafic issues involved. There's two essays that I read last Shabbos that talk about this topic. Two Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, one of the Gdolim of our generation, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Gush. He wrote an article called The Ideology of Hesder. I could share anyone who wants the article, I could send you the link online. He wrote an article, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of a Hesder Yeshiva. So he wrote a whole article, a beautiful essay, explaining the ideology of Hesder, of serving in the army and also learning Torah, and why that's l'chachil, why that's the best option. Another great Rav Aaron, Libalo ben Achaim Lameisim Achaim, is Rav Aaron Lapiansky. Rav Aaron Lapiansky wrote a book called Time Pieces. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Greater Washington, and one of the great Baalei Machshava of our times. He wrote an article defending the more Haredi position of not sending Yeshiva students into the army, and he emphasizes the negative effect of that environment it could have on a Yeshiva student. So you really have two, to this day, we have two very different perspectives on what's the ideal approach for a Yeshiva student. Is it combining Talmud Torah, intense Talmud Torah study with army service, or no, remaining exclusively in the Beis Medrash, not going out into the army? If anybody wants to see, I'm more than happy to send you the Rav Lapiansky article or the Rav Lichtenstein article to see two different approaches. But I just want to end with the following. What could we do? How could we take a lesson from this for our lives here, living in America, for us as Americans? What's a lesson we can take from this sugya? So, there's a Rav Yashiv has a beautiful piece in this week's Parsha in his Sefer on Chumash, where he tells us a very important lesson that's relevant to the sugya we learned this morning. This Sefer from Rav Yashiv is called Divrei Agada. It's Divrei Agada, very to the point. And if you look in the Hakdama to the Sefer, so it sounds right that Rav Yashiv gave these Divrei Torah in the Parsha around the year 1948, when Eretz Yisrael was fighting for its life. And Rav Yashiv, a lot of these Divrei Torah, they're beautiful Divrei Torah that Rav Yashiv gave as chizuk for the hard times that Klal Yisrael was going through. So this is Parsha. Rav Yashiv has a beautiful message for all Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael is engaged in war. Says Rav Yashiv, we know in this week Parsha and Parsha's Matos, so we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding Moshe to send Elf HaMateh, thousands from each Shevet, to go ahead and prepare for war against Midian. So Rav Yashiv says that the Medrash Rabbah in Chaf Beis Beis says that really every Shevet sends 3,000 people. Not just 1,000, 3,000 for a total of 36,000 soldiers. And says the Medrash, you had three groups from this 36,000. One group, this 12,000 would be going out to fight. Another group of 12,000 would be taking care of the supplies and the food. And the other group of 12,000, says the Medrash, was Latvila, for David. And says Rav Yashiv, if back then, during the time when Klal Yisrael was going out to fight Midian, where you had a Kadosh Baruch Hu promising Klal Yisrael, that you're going to be successful. You have the Aron Kodesh, you have the Kohen Gadol, you have the Urim Tumim, and you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise that you're going to be successful. We still needed 12,000 people to daven for the Jewish soldiers. So says Rav Yashiv, all the more so nowadays, when we have soldiers out there on the front line, and we don't have a Kodesh Baruch Hu promising where everything's going to be okay. there's Rav Yashiv, how much more so are we needed to daven for them? So if we're not, we don't have the schus of being in the idea of defending Eretz Yisrael and protecting Eretz Yisrael, so we could fulfill this medrash. We could focus on davening for them. And this is a very important lesson for us now in Beit HaMatzarim and working in our Ahavas Yisrael. One of the greatest ways that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael is by davening for someone else, thinking about someone else. So it's a lesson from this week's parsha, from the sugya we did this morning, and from Rav Yashiv on Parshas Matos, how vital it is to daven for other people, daven for the soldiers, daven for the IDF who are protecting Eretz Yisrael. I want to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat, a Shukach on a great 4 weeks here of coming on Friday, learning. A Shukach to everybody. And please stay in touch. A Shukach.